And that goes for the military too. President Biden proposed a defense spending bill of a whopping $813 billion, a 4% increase totaling more than the defense budgets of the next 11 countries combined. Instead of tackling the climate crisis, Biden has prioritized beefing up the military-industrial complex and funding the Pentagon, the world's largest consumer of fossil fuels. Far from being a simple defense force, the U.S. military exists to allow the commission of extreme violence in any corner of the globe at a moment's notice. That neither represents the values to which Americans aspire nor meaningfully benefits anyone in the United States, outside of perhaps a handful of powerful corporations with multinational holdings. If President Biden wanted a budget that reflected a genuine interest in meeting communities' material needs, creating safety and improving the lives of working people, he would prioritize funding programs of social uplift. Crucially, this would include, but not be limited to, education. President Biden proposed funding universal preschool, but there is no reason to stop there. There's no reason education must start at age 5 and end promptly at 18. If Americans want an informed, engaged people, a country where inquiry and discovery are valued, they must direct resources toward education at all levels, not the military. That means preschool, elementary, high school, and all of higher education. And that means canceling student debt, which never should have existed if they had done things right from the start. Education is only one piece of the puzzle. To build a better America, as Biden claims he wants to do, he should fund paid leave and childcare before preschool. They should fund healthcare and wipe clean the moral stain of medical debt from their collective conscience. They could actually increase unemployment benefits, fund job training programs, increase cash assistance, fund art and community centers, add parks and nature preserves, and on, not investing on the military. A budget is a reflection of values. By increasing money to police and the military, the president's budget reflects the values of violence, brutality, racism, and hopelessness.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, you are listening to the IRIB English Radio and we are here to present yet another episode of your favorite program, A Muslim Lady. I'm Farman Ali Masumi and with me, my wife, Razia Batul Najafi. Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
We were talking about the women's role in our society, in our social life, which is very, very common, in especially nowadays because of the internet and social media. And we have talked about it a lot, but let us share with our dear listeners the viewpoint of Shahid Mutahhari and the other great scholars of Islam, what they would think. Although in that time also they had this social life, and the women of that time also, they had this opportunity to present themselves in the social life. So what do you think, especially nowadays, being as a Muslim lady, Muslim practical lady, is it easy to socialize yourself being within the limits of Islam? And what do you think, is it important for a Muslim lady to come in social activities and play her role? Although we have discussed a lot, but especially we will talk about the viewpoints of our great scholars.
Yes, like if I'm covering my head, yeah, as a Muslim lady, it doesn't mean that I'm covering my brain, I'm covering my, you know, talents, I'm covering my you know, whatever hobbies I have, whatever responsibility I have. I'm totally free. Like, I think by covering my head in social activities because of Namahram, I'm focusing more, you know, and I can use more my inner talents to serve my community. So I think the covering head and hijab, yes, because Muslim lady and non-Muslim lady, if you are just putting them in the society, the difference is that she's covering, she's not, you know, like that. So because of covering, I can enhance, I can boost my abilities more than maybe others. So this is the plus point for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be active in society.
Definitely the dress code is same for men also. Because nowadays, if you look at the news conferences, the political leaders, you know, for example, in a very important meeting, if a president of a country comes in a different dress, different clothes, other than the formal dresses like coat and tie and other things, so everybody will get surprised, you know. They will start objecting him, why he has come in a different dress code, why he is not in formal dress. So the dress code which human being itself has chosen for themselves is, you know, it can be different. In some societies, they have special dress codes, special clothes, their traditional clothes. In some societies, they use the modern clothes. So likewise, if a Muslim lady, Allah has chosen a special dress code for her, so nobody has this right to object.
Yeah,
the decision of the creator of
my designer, you know, my designer is Allahu Akbar, yeah, the greatest designer. Allah has chosen that amazing dress for me. And therefore we say, this is not my right. This is not because of my husband or my father I'm wearing this dress code. You know, like we as a woman, we say we wear the hijab, not as a symbol of control by a man, you know, husband or brother or father, but rather to promote our own feminist ideals, you know. Because the creation of Allah, so this is haqqullah, you know, this is between me and my Allah. Even me, you know, as a woman, I cannot say I don't want to wear. Because like the way I cannot say I want to cut my finger, you know, Allah said no, I don't, you know, permit you to cut your finger, cut your hand. You are so respectful in my eyes, you know. So I'm not allowing you to insult yourself. So I can't say, oh, you know, everyone have this permission from my side that you can just insult me, you can just backbite about me, gossip about me. No, you know, like this is, you know, inna karramna bani adam.
Given so much respect to the human being. So they should always remain within the boundaries of respect.
This I love about Shahid Mutahhari. It's so beautiful that he's constantly, you know, leading us and directing us towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yeah. And when it comes to divine decision, then you feel so great. You know, you feel, wow.
It shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paying special, you know, attention. He himself has designed, he has designed our soul, our body, our all these qualities. In the same way, he has designed a dress code for women specially.
Yeah.
So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, stay tuned. Inshallah, we will come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
For a man, like we know, because it's not like that men can wear whatever he wants.
Definitely, he
has also some very restrictions, especially when it comes to prayer time.
When Islam talks about, you know, this dress
modesty,
and looking
chastity,
and modesty,
exactly.
He speaks to men also in the same way he speaks to women.
Yeah.
Hunna libasul lakum means in the appearance also.
Yeah.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to women that you lower your gaze, for example, you don't look here and there. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to men also.
Yes, yes.
So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special dress code for men also.
No doubt.
Allah says you cannot go in the society, in the, you know, community with whatever cloth you want. It should be modest. It should hide your, you know, body. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for women also. So nobody has this right to object that why Muslim lady is wearing this much hijab.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why she is living within the boundaries of respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her.
You can't believe it. You can't believe it. Even our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would cover his head. Yeah, it wasn't wajib incumbent on him, but he would say, I love to cover my head. I love to cover. Covering was something very special. Like whenever you are imagining a prophet, yeah, even Jesus, even Moses, you always giving him that beautiful cover.
Yeah,
you
know, even covering. When we see the movies.
Yeah,
Not only covering
the body, covering the head. So what our prophet, he says, I love to cover my head out of respecting the angels, the presence of angels. Look at the beauty.
This much modesty he had.
So covering is a fazila, is a merit, is a very positive quality of mankind, you know, as a human being, not just because she's a bichari, you know, very poor girl and lady, she has to cover herself out of what? Like, if I'm covering myself, I'm covering what? My talents, my brain, my ability? No, I'm not covering anything. I'm focusing more. You know, that is the very, very important point, which is missing in our society. Unfortunately.
Even men also, if you look at them, when we look at a man who has a decent clothing, so we respect him a lot.
Exactly.
You know, compared to a man who is coming in just shorts and half sleeves and, you know,
and
this
I
kind
wish,
of dress.
I wish this
it
was...
shows that we also... Human instinct is to have proper clothing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that I wish it was a video and a TV show. You can see as a scholar, like the turban on your head, and qaba and aba, like two layers. So that is something very dear to me because this is the way of dressing of our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So this is a beautiful evidence that in Islamic society, men are maybe more covered in so many areas than women, you know, like maybe she is wearing one layer of scarf or one layer of, you know, any chador, but men as a scholar, they have so many layers even in summer. So beautiful.
It shows that the respect of the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. All our a'imma and prophets sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they would happily, you know, intentionally they would wear the complete clothing.
Indeed.
They would cover their hairs, they would cover even their whole body with some layers. It shows that they respect the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They respect the human beings. They respect
Absolutely.
The communities, the social life also. Because if you look in a decent way, it means you are paying respect and showing respect.
Okay, when it comes to fashion, and about some trend of dressing, I have seen a lot, you know, they promote ladies towards a very less and naked dressing. And then they say, this is your feminism, you know, like you're feminist, that appearance, but you have to show your body. So how come they are, you know, having this kind of unfortunately illogical way of explanation, that because you are feminine, because you are a lady, so you should have a very different way of dressing, like you should wear a skirt, for example, you should wear a sleeveless dress. We don't have sleeveless nice fancy dress for men, but we have not only sleeveless, so many less for women. But they say, this is your, you know, beauty. This shows you are a feminine. But I'm saying, I'm covering my head and my body in hijab because I really want to show my feminist that look at me, you know, Allah has designed this for me. So there no one is objecting, unfortunately, but here, you know, tons of objections, unfortunately, we have.
This is the nowadays societies, because
exactly.
They object whatever you do, in no matter in whatever way you do, always they are there to object. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us. I hope to see you soon in our next episode. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges, nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us listen to a famous statement from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding his loyal wife, the mother of all true believers, Hazrat Khadija, peace upon her. Khadija outclassed all other ladies in the world in her belief in God and in the Messenger of God.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossoms blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The first all-private space crew has successfully docked at International Space Station after spending over 20 hours en route. Three paying customers and a former NASA astronaut will spend 10 days aboard the ISS. The tourists will participate in scientific research, including stem cell experiments and exploring how the body ages in space. The civilian crew were launched into space in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center on Friday. The trip was brokered by Axiom Space, which is the U.S.-based startup that coordinates rocket rides and provides necessary training. It's not the first time paying customers have visited the ISS. Russia sold seats on a Soyuz spacecraft last year. But this is the first mission that includes a crew entirely comprised of civilians.
A new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see. The Drone Show Korea 2022 has been held at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center, BEXCO. It featured 137 companies and 533 booths, making this year's incarnation the largest in the show's six-year history. The event also featured the participation of a large international industry representatives from Japan and Western Europe. A highlight of this year's event was military technology centered around the unveiling of new indigenous UAVs. This year's show marks a long-endurance liquid hydrogen drone produced by a South Korean company. These developments reflect South Korea's attempt to improve resilience and revolutionize its approach to warfare. The event puts on display the importance of drone industry in various spheres, including defense purposes.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
More than 163 wildlife species have been released back into lagoons and forests in Colombia's Casanare province after being seized and rehabilitated by authorities fighting wildlife trafficking. These include 15 different species such as anteaters, turtles, macaws, a toucan, and a leopard. They were nurtured back to health by fauna vets from an environmental authority in charge of managing sustainable development. The authority, Corporinoquia, released more than 1,200 animals back into the wild in 2021 alone. Colombia is one of the world's most biodiverse countries by square kilometer and is home to some 10% of the world's flora and fauna.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered eight miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INEC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play. And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to play. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. it has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and the snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up, in case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky, a Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
The cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about
Ramadan, the month of dua or supplication.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Wednesday, is the 11th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the shining book of Allah, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to verses 17 to 21 of chapter Ar-Rahman.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Rabbul mashriqayn wa rabbul maghribayn.
He is Lord of the two sunrises and Lord of the two sunsets.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ.
He released the two seas, meeting side by side.
بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ.
Between them is a barrier, so neither of them transgresses. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah Almighty is the Lord of two easts and two wests. It is true that each and every day the sun rises from a point and sets in another. Thus the number of easts and wests run to the number of the days. But taking into account the maximum northern and southern axis, we notice that other easts and wests fall between the twines. Such order is the origin of the emergence of the seasons, engendering abundance, and it actually emphasizes and completes the contents of the foregoing blessed verses treating of the well-measured calculation of the course of the sun and the moon. On the month of Allah, this is today's special and importance of dua or supplication during this month. Dear brothers and sisters, the significance of making supplications during Ramadan can be understood from the verse that follows the verse on Ramadan. Since the sequence of the verses in the Quran are significant in and of itself, the fact that Allah mentions dua right after the verse on Ramadan should tell us something. The Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 186. Allah says,
And when my servants ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, indeed I am near, I respond to the invocation of the supplication when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me by obedience and believe in me, that they may be rightly guided. This is a verse with profound meaning, needing an in-depth study by itself. First of all, it says that Allah expects us to ask about him and ask him for things. Then he says that he responds to any supplication of any caller, even if they are not even Muslims. This is evident from the fact that he says caller and not Muslims or my servants or mu'mineens. So no matter how close or distant you're from Allah, you just need to call him once and he'll respond. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the value of praying and supplication in the month of Ramadan. First of all, praying and supplication are two important religious universals. So we can't find any religion, whether divine religion or, for example, man-made religion in the world in which there isn't any sign of prayer or supplication. Even polytheists and pagans supplicated to the idols for having their wishes fulfilled. In the month of Ramadan, now we find that the whole opportunity, the whole situation is ready that those people who pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who supplicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have their wishes well fulfilled. According to the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates that وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَةِ سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. O Prophet, say to people to offer the prayers to me, and when they offer the prayers to me, I fulfill the prayers, the needs, I meet the needs. Those people who feel arrogant and don't come to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean in terms of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would be led to the divine hellfire. In this connection, we find that there are several indications in this Quranic verse. First of all, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors. Another one is that praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the whole ground ready for having our wishes and desires well fulfilled. Another one is those people who pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who express their wishes and needs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are superior to those people who pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who offer salats to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without requesting anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites everybody to ask things from him, to ask, happy events from him. So, this table of divine reception is always ready. It depends on us, so whether we move ahead in order to benefit from it or not. And another point is that those people who feel arrogant and not humble enough, they don't find themselves not humble enough to ask anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are among the transgressors, and certainly because of this moral vice, they are going to be led to the hellfire. Thank you. Ramadan.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan. يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
In this part we have a question. Why you should be making the most dua in Ramadan?
Dear friend, the month of Ramadan is a blessed period in the year of a Muslim. It is important to know as believers the methodology of attaining the maximum benefit from this blessed month. One of the acts of worship legislated upon us by Allah is dua, or supplication. We should be making dua on a regular basis throughout the year, but in the month of Ramadan, duas hold a greater value than the rest of the year. In the month of Ramadan, our duas, our supplication should increase. So let us not waste any time in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, and let us utilize this month wisely by increasing in our dua to the one who responds to all invocations. What prevents us from supplicating? Yes, we're talking about supplicating, and it's a good question. The point is that dua is not Amazon.com. You don't just search spouse, find your choice, click an order, and the next day your choice is there at your door. Allah answers your dua in the way He knows best, and at the time when He knows best, because He knows the future and you don't. He knows what's good for you and you don't. He answers your dua in one of three ways: by giving the thing asked for, by averting a calamity that would otherwise have afflicted him or her, and gifts waiting in the hereafter. Some say, I believe in the Qadr, the night of Qadr, and so I won't ask because Allah has already fixed everything for me. Don't human beings have free will? We are able to choose our way, and still the concept of Qadr is valid, because our choices themselves are part of Qadr. Making dua is also part of Qadr.
When we feel weak, when we feel tired, when we feel hungry, we are reminded to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that we rarely thank Allah for. We drink water every day. Do we thank Allah for the water that we have? We eat food every day. We take it for granted. We don't thank Allah for that. We think that this is something that we are entitled, something that is supposed to happen. We're supposed to eat, we're supposed to drink every day. No. There are many people that don't have food. There are many people that don't have water. Right now, alhamdulillah, we are fasting because of choice. We choose to fast. There are some people that fast because they have no other choice. They have to go hungry. So we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And finally, in the state of mind, we have to keep our faith strong. We have to always put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that gives us everything. Allah is the one who has been giving us everything. You know, you might see some people, they go through a small difficulty in life, and they start doubting in Allah. They start doubting and having bad doubt in Allah, bad faith in Allah, su'adhan. This is wrong, my dear brothers and sisters. When we see that we are hungry, and when we are reminded of the blessings that we have, the blessings, the food that we have, this reminds us that it is only Allah that gives us, and no one else. And we need to be thankful of that. We need to always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep and remember us too in your prayers and worshiping. Thank you very much, and في أمان الله.
ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان، للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن. ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان، للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن. نور في الأفق يلوح، باب الجنة مفتوح، لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان. نور في الأفق يلوح، باب الجنة مفتوح، لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان. ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان، للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.